God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm not Catholic. I've said that before. I just want to be clear on that. I don't claim any expertise on the Catholic Church. I'm an evangelical Christian. I don't claim any expertise on that. I've been following the Lord for, see, old as my daughter, about 22 years, but it's been in stages. I've described myself as being a guy who became a Bible reader, a God believer, a church goer, a church consumer, a church funder. Took a quick break from all that because my little girl was a promising speed skater, don't you know? So we talked about church. I continued to give money to religious groups, Christian groups. But that church thing, that ran in the way of speed skating. And there began a great process of ruin I put my family through. Big mistake. Came out of that, became once again a church attender. And then I went through a process where I referred to myself as a Jesus needer. Finally became a disciple. And truly understood what it was to be discipled. As you know, my pastor asked me, do you want to be discipled? And I said, what's that mean? And he told me, I'm going to teach you how to be a disciple of Jesus. So having arrived at that, that's my path. But I began the spiritual awareness in a home of a mother who was raised Catholic. And she went to a Catholic school back on the olden days where there was the hitting girls on the knuckles with the rulers. And there was some corporal punishment. And I think that informed my mom's feelings about the Catholic Church. And so just in context, just know that. I was brought to the Lord, though, in a Catholic home of great structure. I've spoken about this on the program before, and I simply want to provide context. Because I think it's important to have respect. And I see the white smoke. You see the white smoke. There's a new pope. May that pope know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one gets to the Father but through him. The last pope didn't. Pope Francis didn't know that. If Pope Francis knew that, Pope Francis chose to teach kids that that wasn't the case. He chose the path of being a heretic in that regard and in many other regards. Pope Francis chose to surround himself with men whose view of human sexual behavior is a sharp departure from anything in the Bible. May this new pope not do that. May this new pope be led firmly by the Holy Spirit, with the greatest possible respect for God's word. The Catholic Church is one of the most important organizations in terms of people coming to the Lord that's ever existed. You know, my friends who brought me to the Lord, this great Catholic family, they're so Jesus-centric that everything in their life revolves around Jesus and his and the word of God. It's so vital that this new pope have a zeal for the Lord's word. And you remember King David talking about he had a need for God's word like a deer laps for water. I hope this new pope has that. I wish I had that. Maybe you're like me. Sometimes you have to kind of force yourself to read the Bible. Maybe you're like me in that regard. I've seen the white smoke. The conclave is over. There's been a new pope selected. I'm praying that this new pope will speak God's word faithfully. And upon his announcement, will speak it forcefully and faithfully. Upon his arrival in his first appearance. I hope that he will speak God's word clearly. This is vital. I mean, God's word's not going to pass away. Jesus told us that's not going to happen, and it's not. It will always exist, never be erased. It cannot be. It is truth itself. But it is such a frustrating thing to see people I love, people I know, choosing to take tiny little bits of the word and erase it. And this is so often wrapped in expertise. And I'm, by the way, I'm monitoring live news. I'm sure Randy's behind the scenes monitoring live news. And I imagine that we may cut in here if a new pope is selected. I'm not trying to make programming decisions above my pay grade. Jonathan and Brent, those guys are going to make that decisions. But I'm glancing at the screen. I'm admitting this to you. I'm excited. I'm hopeful. But I'm watching people decide that the Bible can mean any one thing if the experts say so. And perhaps you've had a conversation like this. This was a deeply frustrating conversation I had with a dear close friend who's departing the faith. And I saw on his car a bumper strip, and it said, God is non-binary. And it just broke my heart. So I thought about this, and I prayed about this, and I sent him a text and said, hey, can you help me understand how you can believe this? And he wrote back to me and said, that's less a statement about God's gender. It's more a statement about human sexuality. And the fact is, Todd, a lot of experts have really discovered that God didn't really speak and didn't really mean that same-sex activity and out-of-marriage activity and fornication didn't really mean that. And that a lot of experts believe that it's been too emphasized, that it's really the Apostle Paul who spoke about that, that Jesus didn't really speak about that. And a lot of experts have come to this, and they're theologians. Some of them are PhDs. And he wrote in his text, I know that you discount experts. I know that you're a populist and therefore discount expertise and academia, or I would send these things to you. So I said, hey, listen, I will gladly read this material if these experts have discovered new scripture. If perhaps there was an archaeological dig of which I was unaware, and it's discovered new scripture that perhaps predates the Dead Sea Scrolls. And there's been study on this, and there's reason to believe in terms of historicity that this is accurate. If that's happened, please, please send that to me. Because if there's been portions of God's word found, I want to know it. But if what you're going to send me is an academic saying that Jesus was a man of his time, Jesus didn't understand the complexity of human design, he didn't understand that we have genomes and DNA that indicates how our brains are going to work, that Jesus didn't understand that some people are born same-sex attracted, that Jesus didn't understand some people are born with a need to have more than one sex partner, some people were born with a need to have sex outside of marriage, even if they're married. Some people were born that way. If you're going to send me experts who've discovered that, then let's just pause. So I'm telling you now, I am looking at the Vatican City live, and I can't pull up the audio, but maybe we can on AFR. There is a new pope. He's arrived on the balcony. And Randy, if we want to go to this, let me know. I know this is important. Fox News alert. And standing on the balcony and reading now. So this has happened. And I feel bad about overriding this guy's words. But I do want to just pray. I want to pray that he will recognize that when people like my friend can fall victim to experts who are reinterpreting God's word, here's what's happening. If you take one tiny corner of God's word and you say that part doesn't count, A, you've committed a sin against God. We are not to add to or subtract from God's word. And that's not said only in Revelation. That is repeated throughout the Bible. If you do that to one tiny corner of God's word, you have said it's fungible, that experts can come and change what God's word says. Experts who didn't know Jesus, experts who didn't walk with him, experts who didn't learn directly from him, experts who discount this fact about Jewish life. The Jewish people who had a robust history of oral tradition, of passing down facts of life with oral teachings, they considered it a massive and grave sin to have any changing of God's word. So there were these faithful repetitions of God's word, and faithful to the point of obsession. If you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, you look at the 20,000 some examples of scripture we have in pretty complete form, you can see that it's 99.8% accurate, or not accurate, but the same. And the changes in it are spelling errors. Someone spelled a name wrong, or there's a letter misplaced. Even in the partial clips we have, of scripture, even there, you can see that it's faithfully reproduced. You can see that we can reconstruct it given just letters people wrote to one another about Jesus. We can see that, and it's faithful. So I pray that this new pope who's just been announced, I hope this new pope will be the protector of God's word and will return the Catholic Church to God's word. I hope for that. But I am not hopeful. Human institutions right now are under a particularly robust attack. And the Catholic Church is a human institution. And this human institution has been under attack for some time, and it has begun to crumble. So I hope this new pope is a man who is very capable of lifting the Catholic Church through the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope that this new pope will allow the Holy Spirit to lift him. I hope that this new pope, upon arriving in this position, will consider what Catholics, as far as I know, consider this great line back to Peter. And I hope that this new pope will remember that some people call Peter the first pope. This is a view, as I understand it, in the Catholic Church. That's why I spent all that time saying I'm not Catholic. I claim no expertise. But I hope that this new pope will remember that Peter denied Jesus Christ three times, and Pope Francis denied Jesus Christ in a heretical form. And now there's this continuation. He takes now this ring from Pope Francis, and I hope that this new pope will make good on Francis's error to come again and say Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets through the Father but through him. I hope that this new pope will reflect back on Peter, who went from a scared man hiding in the upper rooms, afraid of the Jews, afraid of the Pharisees, to speaking in front of 5,000 people God's word. I hope that he will reflect upon that Peter decided to be, tradition tells us, executed by being crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to die like the Lord Jesus died. I hope that he will reflect upon Peter's love for the word, for what Jesus Christ taught. I hope he will think and reflect and pray that it's only the word, it's only the Holy Spirit that reigns. There's a new pope. To Catholic listeners and Catholic friends, I hope that this pope serves you, has come to serve, not be served. But more important than any of this, that this new pope is inflicted with only one ailment, you might say, although it's not an ailment at all, that he is consumed with zeal for the very word of God. There's a new pope. We'll come back into Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Just a quick note before we talk about the new Pope. This is when the Mockingbird media is so important. I wish they would focus on their important role in aspects like this. Already, the Associated Press to their credit, and they had this all written in advance. They knew who a lot of the candidates were, said they had this all written in advance, but this is so important that we can turn to them to get their view on who this new Pope is. Cardinal Robert Prevost is going to be the new Pope. He's an American who lived in Chicago but had been living in Peru for decades. And this is from the AP, What to Know About Him, born September 14, 1955, American and Peruvian. Position, Prefect of the Dicastery for Bishops, President of the Pontifical Commission for Latin America under Francis, Archbishop of Chiclayo, Peru, head of the Augustinian Religious Order, made a cardinal by Francis. That, I'm sorry, but that concerns me, but that was likely to be the case. Francis brought Prevost 69 to the Vatican in 2023 to serve as the powerful head of the office that vets bishop nominations around the world, one of the most important jobs in the Catholic Church. As a result, Prevost has prominence going into the conclave that few others have. Obviously, this is prior to him being named Pope. One strike against him, writes the AP, however, is that he's an American. There's been a long taboo against a U.S. Pope given the geopolitical power already wielded by the United States in this secular sphere. But Prevost, a Chicago native, could be first because he's also a Peruvian citizen and lived for years in Peru, first as a missionary, then as an archbishop. Again, this from the AP, and thanks to them for proving why I wish we could trust them more often. Prevost was also twice elected prior general or top leader of the Augustinian Religious Order, the 13th century order founded by St. Augustine. Francis clearly had an eye on him for years, moving him from the Augustinian leadership back to Peru in 2014 to serve as the administrator and later bishop of Chiclayo. He remained in that position, acquiring Peruvian citizenship in 2015 until Francis brought him to Rome in 2023 to assume the presidency of the Pontifical Commission for Latin America. In that job, he would have kept in regular contact with the Catholic hierarchy in that part of the world that counts and still counts the most Catholics. Since he arrived in Rome, Prevost has kept a low profile, but he is well known to the men who count. Significantly, he presided over one of the most revolutionary reforms Francis made when he added three women to the voting bloc that decides which bishop nominations to forward to the Pope. In early 2025, Francis again showed his esteem by appointing Prevost to the most senior rank of cardinals, suggesting he would at least be Francis's choice in any future conclave. Prevost's comparative youth could count against him if his brother cardinals don't want to commit to a pope who might reign for another two decades. The Reverend Fidel Persiaca Vigil, the communications director for Prevost's old diocese in Chiclayo, remembers the cardinal rising each day and having breakfast with his fellow priest after saying his prayers. No matter how many problems he has, he maintains good humor and joy, Persiaca said in an email. By Franklin Brasano in Limu Pira and Nicole Winfield in Vatican City. So there, I mean, just again, I wish that the AP would remember why they're important. Stuff like this. Not a Catholic. My concern is that this guy was esteemed by Francis. So I turned to a church-hating organization. And this is a leftist organization whose sole concern are so-called transgender and same-sex attraction issues. This is what they say about Cardinal Robert F. Prevost, United States. Some of what we just read about. But this is a little bit different view. This is from Outreach, an LGB so-called TQ Catholic resource, therefore a heretical organization that is not at all Catholic. Cardinal Prevost was born in Chicago, but spent 20 years living and ministering in Peru, and we made a bishop and became a naturalized citizen. We've read some of this. He's viewed by some as an alternative for cardinals seeking to elect a Vatican leader, but who have grown weary of Cardinal Parolin. Because the cardinal's given few interviews over the years, not much is known about his views on the range of hot button church issues. According to a profile by Vatican reporter Christopher White in the National Catholic Reporter, Cardinal Prevost, now the Pope, is a strong supporter of synodality, a key priority of the Francis papacy. And in a 2023 interview in Vatican News, he said the church needs to really listen to the Holy Spirit and the spirit of truth-seeking that lives in the church. On LGBT so-called T and Q issues, the New York Times reported this week that in 2012, a year before the election of Pope Francis, Cardinal Prevost expressed disappointment that some Western media held, quote, sympathy for beliefs and practices that are at odds with the gospel, in particular the, quote, homosexual lifestyle and, quote, alternative families comprised of same-sex partners and their adopted children. So on that topic, this, a heretical so-called gay gospel Catholic, it's fake Catholic organization, appears to think this guy is against same-sex marriage. So time will tell. Time will tell. And he's been given the name Leo. The new pope will be given the name Leo, his new name, his papal name. So again, I would pray, though, that at his heart is the word of God. And there is an email we got that I think is I was going to read this later, but I think this is a good time to read it, given the announcement of this new pope, and reflect upon this. And this came to us from Lynn. And Lynn wrote to us at comments@afr.net, or I can't recall which, maybe to my website at thetoddhermanshow.com. And she wrote this. Dear Todd, thank you for all you do. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I started on the path of understanding why identity theft, the property title theft, and all crimes were becoming easier and easier, and the answer became obvious. We've transferred to an online world without the general population's consent. All public documents became accessible online. Just because it is a document available to the public doesn't mean it should be accessible to anyone in the online world. Pause. What about biblical theft? She's talking here about identity theft. What about biblical theft? She goes on to list a number of things that she shouldn't have access to. My home address, your home address, our credit addresses, and yet she does. We have access to a vast sea of knowledge, and yet we're not using that knowledge. I pray for this new pope, Leo. This is his new papal name. I pray for him. I pray that he will remember this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, clearly, this man is more learned than I am. Clearly, this man knows things about the Bible and probably forgot things this morning that I've never known. Clearly, he's committed his life to the service of the Catholic Church, rising to cardinal. Clearly, he knows the Catholic Church, and again, sometime in the last 2 minutes, has forgotten things about the Catholic Church I will never know. So I can pray, though, and so can you. I would pray that he would remember that there's a reason that we're told the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why is it the beginning? Why isn't it complete wisdom? I was sharing with some kids the other day, street smarts. Street smarts. And you can be street smart and use it, and it can save your life. For instance, my daughter and I were driving across the state once. She'd been at a skating meet. Well, we'd been there. She'd been doing the skating. I'd been doing the fathering. And we were driving back across the state of Washington. It was a long trip. We'd been coming from Idaho because we went out and stayed at the lake cabin for a bit. She'd fallen asleep. Skating meets are notorious for getting up very, very early. Floor time is precious because these skating rinks have to make money. So often warm-ups for skating meets would begin at 5 o'clock in the morning, meaning we got there at 4 a.m. to stand in line to get a seat. She fell asleep. We were outside of a city called Ellensburg. And I saw in my rearview mirror a car approaching, and it was wrong. The angle of approach was wrong. The angle of passing was wrong. And because I spent all that time racing cars, my car smarts took over and I floored it. And I've got a pretty powerful truck with a pretty powerful V8 in it, and I floored it. And we got ahead of the wreck that came because I saw that car swerve and then begin to fishtail And ultimately, it bumped another car, it went off the road, and it rolled into a stream. And I immediately stopped our car and told my daughter to stay put, pulled it off to the side of the road, ran down there, and this young woman had somehow made it out of that. And she was standing there confused, and I went to her and said, is there anyone else in the car? Because it was in water. She goes, what? I said, is there anyone else in the car? Is there anyone in the car? Do you have kids? Is there anyone in the car with you? She goes, no, I was alone. And I stopped and said, okay, breathe for a second. You've been through a lot. Please think. Is there anyone in the car? Please think. And she said, no, there's no one in the car. There's a long story to this, which is an interesting one, and I'll tell that in a personal note today because it was so, so utterly horrifying. But we weren't killed in that crash because that angle of attack, it would have rolled us. Had God not given me the reason to floor it, had I not been prepared as a race car driver. I had the race smarts. That's the beginning of saving our life. Because I could have had the race smarts and looked and said, yeah, that's not really happening. I'm just seeing things. I could have ignored what race smarts was telling me. And we would have been dead. I'm convinced we would have rolled into that stream and not gotten out. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is a decision to act upon that fear, to be guided by that fear, that reverence, because fear can be translated as reverence, a reverent fear, in fact. In many translations, it says a reverent fear. My friend Steve describes it as the awe of authority, the awe of rank. The awe of rank. He was in the army. So to the new pope, Leo, he's going to be called. To the new pope, Pope Leon, I pray that he will reflect upon the fear that I don't know that Francis had any longer. When Francis spoke to students and he said that there are many ways to God, that all religions are a pathway to God, that no one religion is more important than any other, that seemed to me to be a man who'd lost the fear of God and therefore had lost the wisdom of the word. As we wait to find out how this pope is going to interact with other popes and how he's going to lead the church, we know this, that God's word is unchanging. And that God's jealousy that people would love his word is unchanging. And as Lynn began to write in that note, because you can, doesn't mean you should, this pope can continue down the path started by Francis. But perhaps, in this new pope, we see a sign that Francis wasn't completely broken. Perhaps he had respect for this man despite this difference on same-sex attraction and marriage, sex outside of marriage. Perhaps he could respect him despite differences in view there. Perhaps. And if you are a Catholic, I'm so curious how you feel. You can email me at thetoddhermanshow.com or just at comments@afr.net. And already the responses are piling in on social media. Already people have determined their opinion on this pope. Already there are people criticizing him for being American. Here's a comment. Oh, great, a mega pope in a mega world. Now, no one has any indication at all. There's nothing I can find in terms of this man's relationship to President Trump, whether he admires the president or not, whether he agrees with him on things or not. But already that's being said. Here's another one. A better choice for pope would have been this man, a faithful Catholic and American, and it's a picture of Joe Biden as pope. Already these are pouring in. And I'm sure there are prayers from faithful Catholics pouring in as well at this moment. And I'd like us to consider something. He's a man. He was once a baby. He was once awed by things. My biggest prayer for the Pope, for Pope Leo, is this. that Pope Leo would remember that the Lord Jesus said, we must become like little children to inherit the kingdom of God, to have that sense of awe again. I hope he will remember that he was once a child, a little child, and that he has been told by the Lord he needs to be that way to inherit the kingdom of heaven. That counts for the Pope, Leo the 19th. And already, by the way, there is a fake Twitter account for him, which is going to be used to spread, I'm sure, leftist propaganda. I hope that this Pope, Leo, will pray, Leo the 19th, to remember what it was like to be awed. And I hope, above all things, that as he realizes now he is Pope, that he is awed again with this: to whom much is given, much is expected. This Pope has an opportunity to undo what Francis did to harm the Catholic Church. To whom much is given, much is expected. May God be with Leo the 19th, the new Pope of the Catholic Church. We'll come back and get into some cleanup items. Obviously, this was breaking news today. We'll get into the Tower Babbling. And I'll tell you the rest of the story, to steal from Paul Harvey, of that near catastrophe on the road my daughter and I had. It's a bizarre one, and it's an instructive one. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Welcome back to The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling and personal note today, and a song I want you to hear. It's called Christianity Today, and it's dedicated to that publication. And it is sad, and it is beautiful, and it is truthful about what so sadly has become very often a heretical evangelical publication. Just one other thing here on the new Pope. Jake Rubenstein on Twitter now showing why social media is important. We're talking earlier about how the AP did an important job today in so quickly providing us information, at least their view of information, about the Pope, Pope Leo the 19th. So here's some things that Robert Prevost, apparently this was his actual Twitter account, apparently, some things he had retweeted. He retweeted Chris Murphy, who is a hysterical leftist, Democrat, a senator. To my colleagues, your cowardice to act cannot be whitewashed by thoughts and prayers. None of this ends unless we do something to stop it. Clearly talking about people who choose to end human life using the tool of a gun. Then there's this. He retweeted this account that appears to be the new Pope, Pope Leo the 19th. Saying Trump's bad hombre line fuels racism and nativism. Cali bishops send preemptive blasts on the DACA repeal. He retweeted Sister Helen Prejean, who wrote, I stand with the dreamers and all people who are working toward an immigration system that is fair, just, and moral. So apparently the anti-Pope, anti-Catholic, fake Catholic group outreach.faith does not think this Pope backs same-sex marriage, and they're upset by that. By the same token, it appears that he carries Francis's belief that the United States should belong to everybody who wants to come here for any reason, and that we owe it to the world to give up on our own immigration laws, at least given what he retweeted, or appears to have retweeted. So thanks for people on social media who are now doing this research. We'll get into the Tower Babbling here in a second. There is an artist, I've never met him, no financial connection, don't know him. I sent him a tweet saying, could I play this on the show? And he didn't object and later sent me a direct message. So this is an artist, Mike Cavanaugh, who wrote a song to express what it feels like to live in America as a Christian for the last 5 years. And by the way, he dedicated it to Christianity Today because I think they're guilty of a lot of things he bemoans here. Mike Cavanaugh.
Wear a mask, get the vax, have fewer kids and leave the past behind. kids, make sure you don't leave them anything. Make them laugh. If they're white, make them right. Tell them they can't do nothing right in this life. Christianity today, Christianity is gay. For our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was crucified. For our Lord and Savior, wear a mask, get the vax, have fewer kids and leave the past behind.
I find it beautiful, I find it sad, I find it accurate of how Christianity is being mistreated and the words of the Lord Jesus being mistreated. Mike Cavanaugh has a new record coming out and gave us permission to play that. On this program, we have a tradition of our own. We thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babylon.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babylon.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling, and beginning here, Ilhan Omar does not fully understand what America is.
That is not the America that we all know. That is not the America we love. And that is not the America the world looks up to. So it is up to us, Americans, to make sure we are standing up for American values. To make sure we are standing up for democratic values. To make sure that the country that once defeated a king's tyranny does so again.
Which king? Oh, the king who's been told by district courts he doesn't control the executive branch that the United States Constitution gives him sole authority to control? That king? The king who chose to walk out of the Oval Office, the White House, after his first term ended? That king? Ilhan Omar is a woman who defends Hamas. You want to speak of kings? The boss men of Hamas live in Qatar. They fly in private planes and they eat fancy foods in billion-dollar buildings. With their $100 billion condos inside. But yes, yes, yes. Tell us more about the America you see, Ilhan Omar. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This abortion clinic worker literally finds it fun to murder the unborn.
I believe the girl should have a little bit of fun, and so we should get to murder just to have a little bit of fun.
Okay.
I like it. It's fun. Hell yeah. I think it's different.
I wonder how that goes over in heaven. I don't wonder how that goes over in heaven. God will not be mocked. She may think she's mocking God. She will learn that God will not be mocked. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, the British Labour MP Carolyn Harris doesn't want hate introduced to the debate surrounding men who pretend to be women.
She believes it's absolutely factual that if you're born a man, you can't ever be a woman. She says it's a matter of fact.
Well, biologically, she's correct.
Yeah.
But there are there are human beings here that, that feel that they are a woman. And I'm not saying that they're right or they're wrong. What I'm saying is when you introduce this level of hate into a debate, rationality goes out of the window.
Wait. Rewind. Pause. Rewind. She simply said that you can't change sexes. That's not hateful. You know, if you had a friend who said, I tire of this world. I am going to live inside a Pepsi bottle because I'll feel safe. You might say you can't fit in a Pepsi bottle. And your friend might look at you and say, why are you introducing hate into this debate? Fascinating that spiritual blindness can so quickly create worldly blindness. But then again, God created all things. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
If I stood up and lied, you would be the first person to say, James Carville lost all credibility last night when he said X, Y, and Z. Yeah, I can spin, I can shade. Everybody does that.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, earlier I was sharing with you, by way of metaphor, that I was speaking about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. Why is it the beginning? Why doesn't it complete wisdom? I mean, clearly there's his word, there's prayer, but there's something else. When you have the fear of the Lord, but you don't use it, it's like having street smarts and not using that. And I'd given before this metaphor of my wife had a craving when she was pregnant. She didn't have many, but one night she did. And I went to a convenience store, and it was during the hot summer. And two guys came in, both of them with sweatshirts and hoods pulled up. And I looked at that and said, that's wrong. I'm leaving. And I left and sadly found out later they shot each other in that store. Street smarts, hey, that's not right. It's like 100 degrees. They're wearing double sweatshirts, hoods. I'm out. I could have said, it's probably nothing. They're just kids. And then I gave this example that God saved my daughter's life. I'm convinced of that by having me had the experience of racing cars and getting car smarts and racing smarts. And I wanted to tell you the rest of the story because it's bizarre and it's sad and bizarre. Double bizarre, double sad. So we've been driving across the state, and my daughter was asleep next to me, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and there was a car approaching, but its approach, the angle was wrong, the speed was wrong, the angle of passing was wrong, something was wrong. And racing instincts kicked in, race smarts, Holy Spirit. I floored it and got out of the way of a car that instantly began going sideways, snake tailing. Fish tank, and it hit a car, and then it rolled into the stream. And I stopped and pulled over, got as far off the road as I could, and I ran down there, and there was the young woman who'd made it out of the car, and I said to her, are you okay? And then, are you alone? She said, oh, yes, I'm alone. Wait, are you sure you're alone? Please, you've been through a lot. Please calm down. Just think for a moment. Are you sure you're alone? There's no kids in that car. No, I'm alone. Okay. So she had no way to get where she's going, but she was really desperate to get into that car. I said, you drowned. Like, you're not going to be able to get into that car. And we could hang around. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to stay. Okay. Is there somewhere I can take you? So I agreed to put her in the car. And just so you know, when I'm with my daughter, I conceal carry. I was nervous about this, having this stranger in her car, even though she was female. And I drove her into a town called Ellensburg. And on the way there, I said, so, hey, is there someone you should call? She goes, yeah, but I don't know his name. Oh. I can text him. I just don't know his name. Oh, okay. Well, that was interesting. But is he going to be mad about the car, I said? She goes, oh, I don't think so. Oh, maybe. So we went to a restaurant that's pretty famous in Ellensburg, and I said, do you have any money? Can you eat? Because I can't stay here with you all day, but can you eat? I don't have cash. No, I don't really have money. You don't have any money? No. And who's going to pick you up? Well, those guys will pick me up. What are their names again? I don't know, but they'll be here. I promise they'll pick me up. I'll be okay. And I said to her, where are you from? She said, California. I said, go home. There's a small airport here. May I please buy you a plane ticket? And would you please go home? God's provided so much to me. I was so fortunate to be able to say those things. That's not a hero. That's simply what you would do. Well, she refused that offer. I went inside and bought her some food. Just, and my daughter saw this, and she asked me all sorts of questions about her. Here's the bizarre thing. That was on a Sunday. Monday morning, driving into Seattle, there was a car wreck. It was the same make and model car that the girl outside of Ellensburg had been driving. I thought, well, that's interesting. The same make and model, the same color make and model. And as I approached the crash, I looked to my left, same young woman in a crash. She was a mule. She was a drug mule. The reason she wanted to get back into that car was there was either drugs or cash in there. The reason the cars were the same is because what her bosses would do was come and take the VIN number off, change license plates, use the same registration. The reason she didn't have any cash is they weren't going to give her any cash. The reason they didn't know, she didn't know their names is because they didn't want her to know their names. But why didn't she fly home when some old man offered her that opportunity? I still pray for her from time to time. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations, till we all speak again together. Through God's grace, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and FR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.